Established in 2013, the charity Wet Wheels Jersey offers the opportunity for islanders with disabilities and disadvantaged islanders to go out on the water in a specially adapted boat. They have just one paid staff member, five skippers, and about 34 crew members. They're also behind the annual True Grit Challenge, which takes runners deep into Roney Quarry in a one-of-a-kind run. They recently learned they were selected as the chosen charity for this year's boat show. You're listening to the Bailiwick Podcasts, and I'm speaking today to Chief Operating Officer Dinah Rogan about the charity, fundraising, the upcoming True Grit Challenge, and her plans for the boat show. Dinah, thank you so much for coming in today. Could you introduce yourself and introduce Wet Wheels for me?
Thanks, Megan. My name's Dinah Rogan and I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Wet Wheels Jersey.
And could you tell me a bit more about Wet Wheels?
So Wet Wheels is a motorboat that is purposely designed to take wheelchairs, and we mainly take out people with disabilities. So our client base is Les Amis, Mencap, Headway, Autism, Legette, to name but a few. We also take care homes out, people living with dementia and things like that. But it's not just a boat trip. We have an accessible ramp to the helm. So everyone that comes on Wet Wheels gets the opportunity to drive the boat. And that's really empowering for a lot of the people that come on, especially young people. So Montalabe School come out with us about twice a week in the summer. Literally every classroom gets the chance for a trip on Wet Wheels. And for those children, to drive a powerboat such as Wet Wheels, you know, we have two 325 horsepower engines on the back. You know, that's some power. And for them to actually be in control of that vessel is just amazing. Most of them are never going to have the chance to drive a car. So this is something very much not the norm for those people. We also do family trips, and that's lovely because it gets the chance for, you know, maybe mum, dad, or brothers and sisters to share that experience too. And it's just a fun time, and it's memory making.
Yeah, could you tell me a bit about the history of Wet Wheels and how you got involved personally?
So Wet Wheels was conceived in 2012 after Jeff Holt, who is head of the Wet Wheels Foundation, he started it. He himself is paralyzed from the age of about 18, I think it was. So he had the first Wet Wheels boat in Portsmouth. He came over for the boat show in 2012, and there was a group of people that thought, this is brilliant, I think it would do really well in Jersey. And so they set about fundraising to buy a boat, basically. So Wet Wheels actually arrived in September 2013. So we took our first passengers out in the summer of 2014.
So you're hitting 10 years this year?
So 2014 was our first year of passengers. So actually last year was our 10th year of operating. So we held a gala to celebrate, which went down very well, I'm pleased to say.
That's really good to hear. You mentioned quite a few charities and organisations. Could you tell me a bit about the range of people who you take aboard?
Yes, so there is no age gap as such. You know, we have babes in arms up to, we've had somebody of 100. So age is not a restriction. Last year as well, we took our 10,000th passenger, which was quite a milestone. So a lot of our passengers are repeat, being that we're from Jersey. We have that cluster of people that we service. So it's not 10,000 individual passengers. But we aim to take out 1,500 people or passengers a year, which is about 230 trips. The boat can take 10 people, but she doesn't, very often. She probably averages about 6 people per trip. And sometimes, so for instance, autism, they might have some, they support lots of people, obviously, and of varying disabilities throughout, you know, autism is a massive spectrum. And so there are occasions where we would just take three passengers, which will be two support workers and, you know, an autistic person, because it is just safer to do so because of how that person may react whilst on board. So, you know, we're very flexible with what we do.
Yeah, it sounds like you have to make quite a lot of accommodations and think really actively about what people are going to need. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And if we're mixing groups, you know, we're mixing bookings, you know, we make sure that each person knows. We have a service dog that comes on board. So again, if that's, we're going to have other passengers, I would always speak to them to make sure that they're not scared of dogs, things like that. So yeah, there is a lot of consideration that goes into to planning who goes with on which trip. But again, you know, I say to people, if there are people who are unsure about, you know, they're quite nervous, then I'll always say, look, if you don't like it, we'll come back. You know, we're not going to make you stay out there for an extra hour. So we are very accommodating.
Could you tell me a bit more about this service dog? I'm very curious.
Well, his name's Basil, and he's gorgeous. He's very cute. He belongs to Charlotte Pope, and Charlotte, and actually her mum, Sarah, has now become crew. So Charlotte attends Montalabi School. She so has come out initially on wet wheels with them, and as I say, she's been out several times, so mum's got involved as well, which is wonderful, actually. And I love the fact that, you know, mum's autistic too, so we are all inclusive.
Yeah, so let's picture a really nice summer day. What's that day in the life like for you?
So the boat is moored at La Collette, so she is always floating, so we don't have to worry about tides. So people meet us at the top of the ramp where we put on life jackets. We take them in a group down to the boat, which is just a bit further down the ramp and along the pontoon. When they get on the boat, they'll have a safety briefing from our skipper, and then we will let the ropes go and we'll move out and initially generally go into Snowbins Bay, kind of into Belcroote, then round the corner into Portlet, St. Brallard's Bay, and as far as Corbeer Lighthouse, weather allowing, and then we'll come back in a straight line generally from Corbeer back into Snowbins Bay, which is where people then get the turn to drive the boat, and then from there we'll go back to La Collette.
That must be a really fabulous experience for everyone.
It is, and even as crew, it's really rewarding. You know, I'm office based, but I do crew occasionally, and I have to say, I just feel so much more relaxed when I come off the boat, and I sometimes don't even realize how stressed I might be before I get on there. But it is, it's fantastic, and I love going to Montalabi School, but equally I've been on a trip with like ICANN, and that was fabulous. Actually, we had a lady from ICANN, and I asked her, would she like to drive the boat? And she was like, oh, I can't see, you know, I haven't driven a car for 15 years. And I was like, well, do you know your left from your right? And she's like, of course I do. And I said, well, that's fine then. I said, my skipper will be your eyes, and you just have to listen out to, you know, and what he tells you to do. And she came up and she was driving, and she was like, oh my God, I'm 86 years old. She said, my family aren't going to believe I'm driving this powerboat. And that was just so heartwarming for me to see and hear. And obviously we take photographs allowing, and you know, and so they can share that with family too.
So their families actually believe them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you say that, because there was one incident where one of our skippers, he's no longer a skipper, but his parents came out, and they were both living in a care home. And he said his dad was going around the care home. He always had the photograph of himself on the boat in his wheelchair because people didn't believe him. So he had this photograph to actually show people. And that, again, it's just like you hear something like that and you think, wow, that's, it's incredible.
Yeah, did you tell me earlier it's been, you had your first outing today or this week?
Yeah, so unfortunately it's been a really terrible start to the season. Historically we'd have done at least a couple of trips in March, We've cancelled about 15 bookings so far this season, so from the start of this year, because of the wind. The wind has just been horrendous. So there's like a little break today and for the next few days, actually. So we do have a couple of trips booked. So yes, Mencap are out there now as we speak. They'll be heading back in shortly.
We're going to be talking a little bit about some fundraising events for you, and I was wondering if you could talk me through your kind of fundraising calendar to start off with.
Yes, so the fundraising is because we don't charge for trips. I didn't mention that, so sorry. We don't charge for trips, so fundraising is fundamental to what we do and is a big part of my role. I am the only employee, so as well as kind of looking after the boat, looking after volunteers, paying the bills, I fundraise. So part of that is I do run a corporate campaign where I invite companies to sponsor a couple of trips on Wet Wheels. It costs us about £500 a trip. So I will ask companies for £1,000 and I will send them a list of upcoming trips. And so it'll say whether it's Les Amis, Headway, you know, Legette, Mencap, and then they can choose which trips they want to sponsor. And then I invite a couple of staff from that company to come out on that trip so they can actually see firsthand where it is their money is going and the impact it is having. The reason I send them a list and get them to choose which trips, because for instance, if a company is already supporting, say, Headway, then that will go hand in hand with what they're already doing. And we've had instances of that in the past. And again, when we have, not everyone takes up the opportunity of going out on the boat, but when they do, the feedback we've had is amazing. And, you know, I want those people to go back to the office and I want them to shout about and sing the praises of what they've just seen and the impact it has, you know, tell friends and family, because there are still people that I meet that say, oh, Wet Wheels, you know, or you are the wheelchairs on the beach. No, we're actually a motorboat. But right, let me go back to the fundraising part. Yes, sorry. So I hold a few events, such as a couple of speed quizzes a year. Last year, as I say, we had the gala, which was our biggest event. But our main fundraiser is the True Grit Wet Wheels Challenge. So that's coming up on the 28th of April. At the moment, we have about 215 people have entered, which is the highest number we've had so far. This is our fourth year, so that's really good.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But we've introduced, so last year we introduced school age 11 and above, or 10 and above, but this year we've actually lowered that to 8, because we had a lot of feedback from parents who were there last year who said, well, I've got children a couple of years younger and they're really disappointed that they couldn't take part. So hence we've done a shorter course for 8 to 10 year olds, and then we've got a longer youth course for kind of 10 to 16 11 to 16. You can kind of choose, if you're 10 you can choose which one you want to go on. And then we have the bigger course for, you can either do it as a solo runner or you can do it as a team of three. But the unique thing is one, it's in Rhône Quarry, which is an absolutely awesome venue to hold something like this. And the other thing is it has obstacles. So it's not a race. It's not timed because the obstacles change each year. So it's not as though you can beat your time of last year because it's a different course. But the obstacles are brilliant and it's fun. The whole thing is meant to be fun and a little bit of teamwork. And you do get to go all the way to the bottom of the quarry and back up again. So that's brilliant. We've got sponsors. Our main sponsor is Ravenscroft. And then this year, for the first time, we have IQEQ and Sea Power Marine have sponsored us for the last few years too.
And what's that take up been for the new shorter distances and kind of changes you've made?
So the schools have obviously been the biggest reason that the numbers have grown this year. But we're also running a competition throughout the school, saying that the highest percentage, so the school that enters the higher percentage of pupils will actually win a trip on wet wheels. Now, how they decide which pupils go on, but it can be a really good incentive, can't it? To, you know, if your grades are good, you can go out, you'll get to go on the wet wheels trip. So, and then also the person who raises the most money wins a trip on wet wheels as well.
God. Can you tell me at this stage who's in the lead?
Yes, so Victoria College are in the lead at the moment, and I think St Michael's is close second.
And can you tell me what it's like to take part? It's obviously a really spectacular setting, and you've mentioned the obstacles. What's how can I imagine this?
So I did something very similar a few years ago when it was sandstorm along the 5 mile road, and it is just good fun. And as I say, if you take it not seriously, you know, that it's not a race, you have to get over that line before anyone else, then that's how it should be. And I kind of tend to stand at the top of the, I'm at the finish handing out medals, and I just love it because the people, like, when they're exhausted, well, they're tired, but they're like, oh my God, that was amazing. Like, we loved that. In fact, last year, one guy, he said to me, can I run it again? And I was like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah, I want to do it again. And I went, all right then. And he did. He ran it a second time.
Do you have anything you might want to say to people who feel a bit nervous about an obstacle course and they're kind of, you know, if they're physically able to do that?
Well, last year we had Charlotte. She ran the youth obstacle course. So her mum just went round it with her. And, you know, that's brilliant because, we want to make it all inclusive. And, you know, we have Adam, who's 19. He's running the long youth course this year with his support worker. We'll run alongside him, and which is brilliant. And that's kind of explains what it's all about. If you get to an obstacle and you find you can't do it, so some are up and over, you kind of run up a sandbank, crawl under a sand net, you know, one of those nets, go through tubes. There are a variety of obstacles, but they are, you know, they're not army type. You're not gonna not struggle, and you know, carrying a sandbag for a small distance. But if you absolutely can't do it, you can walk around it. You know, we're not going to penalise you, but you will still get a medal. If you come over that finish line, however you got around, you will get your medal and just a big clap.
Just to double check, are you going uphill or downhill in the quarry?
Well, you're going down, and obviously whatever goes down has to come up. So
so that's the hard part.
That is the hard part.
Gotcha. What's your goal for sign-ups?
I really want this to be a massive event. So I want 400-500 people to attend. So if this year, if I could get to anywhere between 250 and 300, I would be really pleased. Because obviously the more people that enter, the more money we raise as well. And there's a massive cost to putting this on. It costs about £12,000 just to 3D event help me, and Rone are amazing, but you know, the obstacles, the insurance, just the everything else that goes with it, it does come out about 12,000. So in order to make a lot of money, I mean, the sponsors cover the cost, but anything, so all the entries, their money, their sponsorship does come directly to Wet Wheels. So obviously the more people that enter, the more money we raise.
Do you typically get a lot of last-minute sign-ups, or are people quite organised?
No, it's Jersey. We get a lot of last-minute sign-ups. But we have a different colour theme each year, and I do ask everyone, well, I make sure everyone wears the T-shirt, the Wet Wheels T-shirt, and because it looks really good in all the photographs and the videos, and, you know, then I want people to, when they're running, generally, you know, doing their exercise, I want them to wear True Grit. It just, you know, I need Wet Wheels to be seen.
We have some great pictures in our archive with people in their colourful shirts and, like, covered in mud.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, you've done some great spreads for us over the last few years. But obviously with everything, you know, you have to order the medals way in advance, you have to order the t-shirts. So I am desperate for people to get sign up in the next week or so. So I can look, we obviously order excess amount of t-shirts, but to make sure we get the right sizes, people get the right size. Yes, sign up now. Sign up today.
And how would people go about signing up?
So you can find us on Facebook. So the True Grit Wet Wheels Challenge has its own Facebook page. There is, it has its own website as well. And if you go on to Race Nation and try and find Wet Wheels True Grit, it'll be on there. So there are several ways you can find us, and also on our website.
And what are the requirements in terms of fundraising?
So there's obviously an entry fee, and we ask people if they can fundraise a minimum of £25 each. But obviously, you know, if people can't, because we appreciate that there are lots of events all looking for sponsorship, and it's just not possible. You can't keep tapping on the same shoulders. So, but the entry fee, obviously, as I say, all goes to Wet Wheels.
I'd like to dive back into the kind of sign-up patterns, because I think that's really interesting. Have you found there's a bit of a trend or maybe demand for something a bit different, something a bit fun?
I think there is, that there definitely is. So we did our first one in 2020, COVID. So we couldn't have the obstacles, and we had to do lots of different heats, and no heat could meet the other one, you know, so they had to leave before we welcome the next.
So you started with a real logistical challenge.
Yeah, really great timing. So I mentioned Sandstorm earlier, and so initially I worked with Sean from Sandstorm, and he said it took years for them to build up, but they did have like 700 people at their last one. I think it was about 700. So obviously, you know, if we could get to those levels, that'd be absolutely brilliant. But I think COVID has just changed people's attitudes. When I speak to corporates and things, they're even saying to me that they will hold an event. And whereas before COVID, you might have at least 50% of the staff attending, now they're lucky if they get 20% of staff. And I do believe now it is changing. And as I say, this year we've had more sign-ups than ever. I think on race day last year, we had 169. So 3 weeks before the event, to have just over 200 is a really good improvement. And I say, we've still got 3 weeks to go. And I know of people that keep saying to me, oh, no, I haven't signed up yet, you know. So, and as I said earlier, if we can get between 250 or above 250, I'll be really happy.
You talk about sort of changing trends as well with corporates and sponsors. Could you give me an idea of the kind of fundraising scene at the moment? Have there been any changes since COVID or since cost of living crisis?
Very much so. I think the cost of living crisis, I think to some extent people had a little bit of more money during COVID because they weren't going out. They had a little bit more cash in the pocket, if those that were working, for sure. But since then, I would say last year, without my gala, which raised 22,000, then I would have struggled to hit my target. And this year, you just have to work so much harder to actually achieve what you're trying to achieve. Because, as you know, even trying to look in the calendar to put something on a weekend where there is no other charity event is really, really difficult. So, and because we're on an island, you've only got a finite amount of people to actually enter. And I'm sure it is like a lot of the same people entering all the different runs and things like that. But it's definitely got more difficult.
Yeah. Do you think there's also a place for individual sort of philanthropists or high net value residents? And do you find that you can reach those people easily?
So we can't reach them directly because we don't know a lot of them, or I certainly don't. But I believe Kevin Lemasne, who works with the high net worths coming to the island, I believe he shares quite a lot of information, and I have met him for a coffee. And actually, I do have two high net worths who have supported us last year, and one's carrying on supporting us this year. But I would say that is the first time in, you know, 10 years that I've had high net worth supporting us. And also there are, you know, we've got a couple of superb marinas out there and some fantastic boats. But with GDPR, I can't kind of go to one of the boating people. Okay, who owns that boat? Can you give me their details? Which is what I'd love to do.
Could I should leave my, you know, knock them.
I should just leave posters everywhere, shouldn't I? Little flyers under their windscreen wiper.
So is it a visibility thing as well, people knowing that you're there?
Yeah, I think so. And as I said earlier, lots of people. It is quite frustrating. Yeah, we've been in the JP, we've been in the radio, we've been on ITV News. So over the years, you know, not just once, over the years we've had, I believe there's an article today in the JP, I haven't seen it yet. So I am surprised when people said they're not familiar with Wet Wheels. But I have one, there's a gentleman who is a member of the Yacht Club, and I use the Yacht Club a lot. And he stopped me a couple of weeks ago, and he actually gave me a check, bless him. And he said, do you know what I love about what you do? He said, I see the people at the top of the ramp waiting to go on the trip. And he said, and sometimes there's a little bit of fear in their eyes. They're a little bit nervous, not quite sure what to expect. And he said, and then I see them come off and the smiles on their faces. And he literally, when he gave me this check, he said, just put more smiles on their faces. And I was just like, oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much. But it's really lovely to hear that kind of feedback from someone who's just observing from being around the marina as to what we do. We do get a lot of support from the Yacht Club.
And speaking of marina, the boat show is coming up, and you just recently found out you're the chosen charity. Tell me how you found out.
Well, I had this call set up with Nicole from Barclays, and I thought it was just a kind of a fact finding as to what we do. And then as the call went on, I was like, Nicole, are we actually the chosen charity? And she confirmed we were. So that is fantastic news. And it was a really lovely surprise on this call to realise. And they're doing lots of things throughout the week, I think, but we're getting involved from the Friday. They've got a breakfast, which Barclays are supporting. They've got Shirley Robertson, I believe her name is, who's an Olympic sailor. She's giving a breakfast talk, which they're inviting about 60 people who are interested in sailing and what Shirley has to say. So they're not charging for that, and we'll just have buckets at the end. So if anyone wants to give a donation, they can. We've been invited to the gala in the evening, and they have what Nicole described as golden tickets on the table. So they don't hold a raffle or anything, but they invite people to put whatever they can afford into the envelope, and that goes to Wet Wheels. They're Hook a Duck, that will help fundraise for Wet Wheels. And also we will be standing on the top of the pontoon where people go down into the marina to view the boats on Sunday, and we'll be there all day holding our bucket. So that is just amazing news, and you know, thank you Barclays.
What does it mean to you to be a chosen charity?
Well, it's massive, isn't it? Because obviously Wet Wheels being a boat, you know, the synergy is perfect. It can't get any better, and it will just help promote us. So it's not just about the money, it is just about the PR being seen. And so yeah, a lot more people will be aware of Wet Wheels hopefully by the end of that May Bank holiday weekend than currently are. So it is absolutely massive, and I say it's not just about the fundraising, it's just about having our name out there and being seen.
Is there any one thing you're most looking forward to?
Ah, that's a good question. Probably the gala. I get fair to dress up.
That's fair.
Yes.
I suppose, how does that compare to what you'd normally do on a boat show weekend?
So we always take part in the boat show, and we are always actually, you know, one of the boats static in the marina. And we love it, and I spend most of my weekend there. And it's just really nice meeting people and inviting them to come on the boat. You know, we let people sit in the at the helm and take photographs again, and just spreading the word, really. And again, you know, we'll have people, you'll have people, oh yes, I know so-and-so, you know, my mother-in-law, or, you know, my kids have been out on it. And then you'll have the people that haven't heard of it. So it is really good. And I just like meeting people, so it's perfect for me.
Brilliant. Will that still be possible this year? Having a look around the boat, will you still be there as normal?
Absolutely, we will be there. We're normally by the Navy ship, and I believe we're the same this year. So, and it's such a fantastic event for Jersey, isn't it? You know, it isn't just locals. There are a lot of visitors that come over, and people from Guernsey and that. So, as I say, it's a fantastic event, and I managed to take some time off and have a walk around, which is always great. Fingers crossed for good weather.
Yes, absolutely. Do you have any other plans for the future? Anything that you'd like to you'd like people to know about?
So we've just had two new engines installed and a new steering system. So that's come at quite some cost. So I've sold the old engines, and we had $10,000 from a charitable trust. But there's like a $30,000 shortfall. So trying to cover the cost of that this year. Those engines will last us about 4 years, because we sell them when they're at their optimum selling value. It's not about they're worn out or anything. It's just for a pleasure boater, it's much better to buy engines that are a few years old than to buy brand new. But knowing, it's a bit like, you know, I wouldn't buy a brand new car, but I'd buy a secondhand car a few years old, because I'm still getting good value. So it's a bit the same with the engines for a pleasure boater. And the steering, it was getting a bit clunky, a bit noisy, and a bit stiff. So that's no good for the people that we take out. You know, a lot of people have limited mobility. So it is absolutely fantastic. I went out for a trial run a couple of weeks ago, and one, the engines were, even though they're bigger, they're actually quieter, especially when they're just ticking over. And the steering was just amazing. And again, that was a lot quieter. And as I say, because of the sensitivity of lots of people that come out with us, it's really going to benefit the joy, the pleasure they get out of a trip. You know, it's going to take away a little bit of that anxiety from the noise and everything. So that's been a massive campaign for us, getting our new engines, getting the steering. As I say, we got the boat in 2013, so she's already 12 years old this year. No?
11.
Yeah, my maths. 11 years old. So in a few years' time, she'll either need a refit, you know, that she's getting a little bit tired. And you imagine we're taking out 1,500 people a year as well. She's getting a lot of use. So we are looking to either just have a complete refurb, or possibly, because time and technology and the boats have improved over years, that we may look to buy a new boat. And what we would look to do is sell our existing boat to another Wet Wheels in the UK who Jeff Holt is actually looking to bring another two boats in the next few years, possibly three. So the idea would be that maybe they would like a secondhand boat, because they're going to get it a lot cheaper, whilst they kind of just start to grow and see how much of a reaction they get to going out. So it could work well. But so that's the next big plan, really. In 3 to 4 years' time.
You talked about the new engine. Obviously, that comes at a cost. Do you have any plans to sort of finance that?
If anyone wants to give us any money, that'd be great.
Yeah, brilliant. Is there anything you'd like to add? If not, we've been speaking for 40 minutes or so.
I just, if anyone's out there that, it's a motorboat that allows people that can't get on a rib or to actually enjoy something that close to the water, and also seeing our coast from quite close up from a different viewpoint, you know, very much different to being on the rock. So if anyone in your family you think would benefit, then please get in touch.
I suppose it's a shame to live on an island and then not really get out onto the water.
Absolutely. And it's not available to everyone. Mm. And as I say, we don't charge. We, you know, if you want to leave a donation, however big or small, that's fine. And as I say, it doesn't matter. It could be £10 because we don't know how people are financially. So we don't have any expectations.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Megan.